Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley saying happy morning. The Lord Jesus is the same, says the Bible, yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He is absolutely wonderful. So I want to share with you some of the thoughts that are in my mind about the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is remarkable. He arranged his own demise, and he arranged all sorts of things. Before I get very serious, let me come and say to you, there are times in our lives when we're bursting at the seams, it appears, to say something. There's something that we've just seen, just heard, or just understood, and we want to share all of that information with someone else. And it was as if the Lord Jesus had a wonderful thing to tell his disciples. In fact, it was. There's so much scripture to be read here that I'm going to leave with you the scriptures so that you can read them. For instance, if I were to read all the scriptures I want to with regard to this particular little study, I would ask you to look at Mark and chapter 9 and verses 1 through 13, and then the same book, Mark chapter 8 and verses 34 through 38. And the key that comes out are the words of Jesus, "What shall a man give in exchange for his own soul?" What would we give? How can we change our soul? Is it possible? And Jesus is bursting at the seams to say to the people, yes, it is possible, and this possibility is your assurance. Well, I'm going to concentrate mostly in Mark 9, 1 through 13, and I'm going to say to you that Jesus is telling his disciples a lot of things. He's feeding them information that they should take in and they should understand, but they don't. For instance, Jesus was arranging his death. He arranged his experience to come. And he was telling them that. The priest said to Judas, not during the feast, by the way, but the Lord Jesus Christ looked at Judas and said, "That thou doest, do quickly." And he went out and betrayed Jesus at the feast. Now, Jesus started the ball rolling. And his death was so arranged that nobody else could really understand how he could be so beautiful in arranging his death. For instance, Jesus arranged his own arrest. The soldiers sought the Lord Jesus Christ at Gethsemane. And Jesus said, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said, "I am he." And they stopped in their tracks and literally stepped backwards. He walked towards them. He said, "You're going to arrest me, then do it." And he arranged his arrest. Not many people would do that. And on TV shows, it is revealed to us that people try to escape being arrested. And if they are arrested, they try to get out of the accusations that they've been accused of these things. Jesus didn't do that. He walked straight into the situation. "This is the time when I have to suffer for mankind. So I am he," said Jesus. "I'm the person you're looking for, Jesus of Nazareth. I'm here. Here I am. I'm standing here. I have no sword, no dagger. I have nothing to defend myself with. I am he." Now notice the Lord Jesus took this into his own thinking. The Lord Jesus was with Peter and James and John, and he brought them to the high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Now, this is verse 2. The disciples saw the transfiguration. Now, here is something that's quite baffling, because he arranged the hour of his death. No man, said Jesus, taketh my life away from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. So Jesus is saying to the disciples, understand what I'm saying to you. All power is given unto me, and I shall show you that in 3 days, but at the moment you can't receive it. And they were baffled. Here he is, transfigured. What does transfiguration mean? Well, it means that God shone through Jesus. The shining that came upon the clothing of Jesus came from within the clothing, in the body of Jesus, and he literally glowed. That's what it means. He took James, John, Peter, and brought them to the high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them. His garments became radiant and exceedingly white, as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Nobody could get the clothes as white as Jesus appeared to his disciples. Verse 4, we discover Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, for he did not know what to answer, for they became terrified. Then a cloud formed overshadowing them. A voice came out of the cloud, This is my beloved Son, listen to him. All at once they looked around and saw no one with them anymore except Jesus alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, he gave them orders not to relate to anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man rose from the dead. They seized upon that statement, discussing with one another what rising from the dead meant. They asked him, saying, Why is it that the scribes say that Elijah must come first? He said to them, Elijah does first come and restore all things. And yet how is it written of the Son of Man that he will suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has indeed come. And they did to him whatever they wished, just as it is written of him. Maybe you are going through a wretched experience. That wretchedness has reached into the depth of your soul, and somehow you are mightily troubled within your soul. And somehow the mixture of the trouble in your soul is showing itself in your daily walk with Jesus and your daily happenings in your experience. But there's a cloud that seems to have formed upon you. Now, most people will say that's depression, but I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying that God is working in a specific way to show that Elijah's experience was not beyond yours. Yours is not beyond his. He had this experience of being depressed, and now Jesus was thrust into the area of what we would call today depression, yet he was not depressed. Elijah does first come to restore all things, he said in verse 12. And yet how is it written of the Son of Man that he will suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has indeed come. In other words, what was said of Elijah is true. It's happened. Don't fuss. Don't get into a big fix over it. He has come. They did to him whatever they wished, just as it is written of him. Jesus now is returning to talk of himself. People do what they like with God, and they think that they're very clever by thinking that they are gods. They think they're very clever because they have attained a godlike attitude with a mass of information that has poured into their minds. They consider that they have worked everything out. Now, Jesus said, this is a life and death matter, but no one's going to take my life from me. They can't do that, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. The fact that he could lay his life down and die for the sins of the world gave him permission, as it were, to show the power of God at resurrection, that he was back from the dead, a mighty triumph for his foes. Oh, Jesus is so powerful. Jesus is so mighty. Jesus is with us whatever we do, however we go. And he says, quite simply, they think they're going to take my life from me, but they can't. It can't be done. I am eternal. Jesus is eternal in the heavens. He is the Son of the living God. If God lives, Jesus lives. And Jesus is alive today to receive those who die and come before him, and he cuddles them and holds them close to himself. And in my Father's house, said Jesus, are many mansions, and I go there to prepare a place for you. And if it were not so, I would have told you, but it is there, and we are being prepared for the prepared mansion. Now, I do like the word mansion because I think God is bigger and grander and more magnificent than anybody can really imagine. And I think his generosity is such that he will give us a mansion. This is not a tiny little cubby hole or a pigeonhole or an apartment. It is a mansion built for me, who love him. He's given himself for me, and I have served him. And because he loves me with an everlasting love, he will keep his word. And Jesus says, look here, they're going to give me a bad time. They're going to make my body agonize. They're going to make sure that the blood is gushing from my body. You will be washed in that blood. They're going to take hold of me and make a mockery of me. But I want to tell you, said Jesus, nobody can take that life from me unless I lay it down. They can't touch me unless I lay it down. How many times we read in the Gospels that somebody had arranged to capture Jesus and make a mockery of him, just be very unkind to him, and he walked through the midst of them. He simply turned and walked through the crowd of his enemies because his hour was not yet come. But now, Jesus says, the hour is now. This is the time. I'm laying my life down, that I may take it up again and live, and you may come with me in this resurrected life. The power of resurrection is revealed. Come along with me, please, because we see also that Jesus has arranged for his disciples to understand. Be not afraid of them that kill the body, said Jesus, and after that have no more that they can do. Now, what can the world do? Well, there's a war going on in the Middle East right now, and it's incredible to me that people are not understanding what's going on there. But the battle has started between the things of God and the things of this world. And the things of this world have hopelessly failed. The failure doesn't want to be admitted to. So we're fighting. Russia is in the mix. Iran is in the mix. Iraq and Syria and so on. And we're standing sort of aloof, looking on, being told by our politicians and leaders that we ought to be involved and we ought to sacrifice more of the bodies of our dear young men and women, and that we ought to be in the battles and we ought to be doing this, that and the other. And I'm not sure that that's correct. What is correct, it seems to me, that the Bible is teaching us something else. Jesus has arranged for us to understand. Now, what he did at Calvary was a wonderful, wonderful thing. He arranged the hour of his death. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down on myself. I've shared that with you. Now, get it in your mind that the Lord Jesus is wanting us to understand that people can do what they like to our bodies. They can blow us to smithereens with their cannons and their wonderful smart bombs and so on. They can incinerate us with all sorts of nuclear this, that, and the other. But what have they achieved? After that, what can they do with our souls? Nothing. Nothing at all. And the soul of a man is of tremendous importance to the living God. His Son died that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly, that we might rejoice in the life that is everlasting, that we might live in the kingdom of God forever and forever. What a privilege. What a joy. Don't you look forward to seeing Jesus? I hope that there is more laughter at my funeral if I get one. I hope there is more laughter at my funeral than anything else. And here is the reason. I would like to know that people are happily accepting the gift of God, which is eternal life. And that eternal life means life that goes on forever and forever. Is there life after death? The Bible says most certainly there is. And Jesus says, nobody can touch this new life. Don't worry about your new life because it belongs to God. The rest of that scripture, Father, says Jesus, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Have you said that? Have you come to that conclusion and you have laid your life in the hands of the Lord Jesus so that you can say with the Apostle Paul, whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. Can you say that honestly, absolutely, confidently, powerfully, simply? Can you say it? Is it true? Are you telling the truth? My life is hid in Christ. Therefore, I am alive. And the liveliness is just absolutely wonderful. Well, the kingdom is revealed. And we should pray, thy kingdom come. Jesus said, when you pray, learn to pray, thy kingdom come. Show us your kingdom. Let us be aware of this new kingdom in eternity, and let us be able to place ourselves with in that kingdom because Jesus saved us and took us unto himself that we might live forever with the Lord. If we can come to that place, we know that this is the path to the palace of the kingdom, and the path is death. The pleasure is to its perfection, resurrection. I know this. To be resurrected with Jesus is not the same as turning over a new leaf. It's not the same of going into death and saying, well, when I'm dead, I shall be different. That's not sufficient. We are in the pleasure of the Lord. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The kingdom comes in power. The power of the cross, the power of resurrection, and no methods of man can intervene. No organization of man can interrupt. No separation from one another can destroy. We are one in Christ Jesus. Oh, isn't that precious? The power of the cross is resurrection. Now the power is revealed in preaching. Believe it or not, it is in the power of preaching. And when we, the pastors, stand up and preach, we should be remembering. Peter looks at Pentecost. Him, having been delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay. People, when they realized this, they cried out and said, what must we do to be saved? And Peter also declared, he begat us again unto living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Paul said he was delivered by the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. He was alive and functioning because of the resurrection of the dead. And he was resurrected, new, brand new. You see, this life I'm talking about is power restored by proving. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is a message to these silly people who are executing Christians and killing one another in the killing fields of the Middle East. Jesus came that we might have life, that we might have that life in abundance. Don't deny it. Understand it's a power that is greater than the power of death. And understand it's ours. Accept what is said in Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul, and so on. Understand and accept that Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep and will keep the sheep in life. Know these things. Let the knowledge of these things come into your life. Look at 1 John in chapter 1 and verse 9 in particular and see this knowledge is ours. When the loss of Golgotha is our gain, we live. That's power. And we have that power. When the loss of Christ's blood is our cleansing, we revive. That's power. When we die in Jesus' arms, we are resurrected. That's power. When we are married to him for eternity, we receive his bliss, and that is power. God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. John, in the first epistle, says that in chapter 4 and verse 9. And it's complete. You want to know the power of God, then get involved in the presence of God. You want to know how the power of God functions and works, then you get yourself in a place where the Lord Jesus can so fill your life with his presence that you are alive unto him. Oh, dear listener, understand that God so loves you that he gave his Son that he might die and deal with the matter of sin, and that he might come back from the dead in resurrection and be held high and lifted up, that we all might live with him forever and forever. Isn't that lovely? It's the word of God. Pray with me, please. Lord Jesus Christ, enter into our experience of life with your great power of resurrection and the beautiful presence of your grace. Enter into our lives and keep us from falling. Hold us close and cuddle us near and keep us in your grace. For we ask all of this in the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Thank you for listening. What a day today will be if you stand in the power of resurrection.